Whenever you're ready.
Ready.
All right. Good evening. You're here for the September 15th, 2025 meeting of the City Council for the City of Portland. And we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on the agenda is the acceptance of the agenda. We have a motion.
Move to accept the agenda.
Support.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
Vance Lambrook?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. Next item is public comment. Anybody for public comment? Seeing no one, we'll go with the City Manager report, Mr. Dimchak.
Thank you, Mayor Barnes. Met with the Friends of the Red Mill to explore Wi-Fi at the Red Mill Pavilion. They've been having some challenges with vendors as well as highly attended farmers market events. Some of the transactions were not going through, and we believe Wi-Fi can resolve that. So working through the logistics there, hope to put some effort in this week and then get that before you for an agreement of some sort of consideration. So
yeah, and that would be, the cost would be the city?
That's something that, to be fleshed out. Certainly the Friends of the Red Mill would like the city to onboard that cost. And then for us, it's a matter of evaluating what that looks like. Had a couple conversations with Tri-County as far as the service provider there. There is a winter mode you could turn it into during the non-pavilion active months. And then from our standpoint, from a cost consideration, we can add that to the pavilion rentals to kind of recoup some of that cost. But I think it'd be a nice show of support for local business, as well as the Red Mill has large gatherings, family events, weddings, you know, the corny hashtags with a pun involved are kind of now the rage at those things, and so I think the internet offering could be an enhancement there.
Yeah, I think I know the Light Brothers are kind of the money behind the Red Mill, the mill itself, and the pavilion, and they're very generous in what they provide funds for. But given the fact that, like you said, we can pass those costs through, I think it would be appropriate for the city to do something like that instead of constantly going to that cookie jar to have the, because they pay for a lot. Do they still do that? I mean, are they still providing a stipend to the city, do you know?
You're asking me?
Yeah, yeah.
Ed does, yes.
Yeah.
For the?
The Light Grove?
The Light Grove,
yes.
Yeah. Light Grove, yeah.
But over time, I think they've put a lot of money into, obviously, the refurbishing of the mill and maintaining the paint and so forth. So
yes.
Anyway, yeah, I think it's crazy.
Who's our current provider?
We do not offer internet service right now. So right now, vendors bring their own hotspot on the transaction. The difficulty, as they described it to me, is that when there's a lot of people in attendance, you get the signals kind of crossed. Those square-type apparatuses, they work in offline mode, and then sometimes the vendors are finding that in offline mode, the transaction doesn't go through. And in that circumstance, they're out product, and they don't get their transaction. And a lot of folks don't carry cash anymore, and so it's really problematic. So met with those folks, and it seems like we have a reasonable solution, and just kind of work through it.
No, that makes sense.
It seems like it would attract vendors too, having that, you know, get more vendors in there too.
There's a lot of momentum there. I don't want to be a barrier for
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
All good stuff. MPPA, we had a meeting at 9:10. That was with Superintendent Davlin. Feedback there, it's just a very dynamic time in the energy space and the electric space right now.
MPPA is Michigan Power.
Michigan Public Power Associates. And so they help assist manage our and the state's public power portfolio as it relates to renewables. But it's just a really dynamic time. A large undertaking of MPPA right now is looking at a software update to manage those investments as well as get better market information. And so they're working through those dynamics. I also had my middle of the managers meeting lunch. That was at 9:10 as well. So just a lot of collective learning from my peers in the middle of the managers. Usually I bring a couple of unique challenges that I have and kind of have the group kind of help me out with, have you thought of this, or what does this look like, or some of those dynamics. Zoning requests, we're working through on a resident for a pole barn. We have a fence property dispute on looking at Ash Avenue that we're working through. And then a vacant parcel over on Grand River had a business inquiry, and so we're communicating the hurdles they would have to get that property to be a possibility. And so that's unique because it has the Grand River Corridor overlay in the highway district. And so those are some more restrictive provisions as it relates to that ordinance. But met with the applicant. I think they were happy with the service so far, and so Paul and I continue to give them feedback on their desires there. I touched base with the listing agent at 1800 East Grand River. That is the 50-acre parcel that the city holds as a land asset at this point. That listing has expired, and so we've had some conversation as to where the market is right now, what it could bear out, but certainly getting that property relisted, working on expectations for return for consideration at this level. It is something that we're going to put more work into, and I expect to have that shortly. Pamela Building has some unique challenges with plumbing and flooring right now, and so we're just monitoring those concerns. The hardship for us from a city function standpoint would be police service operates out of that building, as you all are aware. But there's just unique constraints as it relates to the policing service with evidence, lien, as well as guns and locker rooms, personal effects. So
this directly affects Chief in your office, correct, yeah. Chief? How is this? I mean, my understanding is you came to work on a Monday and there was not clean water was it from hopefully from a sink and not from other facilities or. Yeah. Okay. whatever we can do in terms of where are we now in the process of addressing that? I would hope that at least they've brought in a service master or somebody to clean it and are working to resolve the problem. Do you know where things are?
Do you tell me to approach
her? Yeah, sure.
And I'll say this.
I'm sorry.
Chief's been absolutely wonderful in rolling with the punches, meeting the community needs as well as juggling this. I'm sure you all expect that, but I just wanted to convey that.
Well, but if this is a priority, I mean, we're not talking just a work environment. We're talking about the requirements for securing the evidence, the lien application, and all that. So you want to fill us in on what's going on?
So Pamela Fitch worked with the morning that the flood happened. That's what I'm calling it, the flood.
Okay.
I was there about 15 minutes when the drain upstairs came disconnected from the kitchen sink. And apparently all the water flowed into my office and into the hallways. So we pulled down the tiles that were like this drop ceiling on our own. Last week on Friday, I pulled down the affected insulation, and unfortunately, Pamela doesn't know about this yet.
I'm talking about, so this happened on Monday?
This happened on Monday.
And you were still dealing with it on Friday, pulling down the insulation?
Unfortunately, yes, because I'm only one person.
Well, yeah,
so
no,
we tried
no.
We tried to let it dry out a little bit, too, and I wanted to put those tiles back up on ceiling. So we pulled out the effect insulation, which was still wet. But then in doing so, we discovered on the floor underneath one of the toilets that had been leaking upstairs. So it's very soft on our side, so I have an email ready to go to Pamela just to let them know about the flooring up there also. But so far, to clear this, I've just done by myself and the officers. There was no carpet or drywall to repair or anything like that.
All right. At what point can the city just step in and say, okay, we're going to fix what is like the obvious, the immediate concerns about sanitation and dryness,
yeah,
and then deal through PAMA with where our chair is here.
Yeah, we're hoping that our plumbers are going to be able to
be established?
Resolve this issue without having to redo everything, because the bathrooms that are in question here goes back to the 1980s. So it has an 8-person shower, 2 urinals, I think there's 2 bathrooms, 2 sinks. One person at a time can use it. Okay, we're done with the multiple people in the bathroom, you know, showers and all that. So hopefully.
Is that because of lack of personnel, or because?
That's just because that's how they built the bathroom.
The plumbing. But the plumbing. It backs up if you got too many people.
That's what they're trying to do. They thought that they've been in there a number of times and cleaned it out. We don't know what's getting back in there. It really should be. They separated a few things last time and ran separate drains. We're hoping that cured it. So it's an ongoing.
Okay, but for the immediate concern, though, is, like I said,
we're not leaking anymore.
Well, but we got to dry things up and get a safe working environment.
Correct.
Yeah, so we're working through that. It's a unique multi-jurisdictional building. There should, in my opinion, be some cost split based on that agreement for these repairs. But we're keeping an eye on it, and there will be a point where the city may have to take a lead on what that looks like, but I know Pamela's working through those logistics.
Well, my concern is, like I said, if my office is, under a sewage flood on a Monday, that by Tuesday it ought to be cleaned up and I ought to be back in business. And if they have to shut down the bathrooms and sink upstairs and have everybody use something on the first level, then do it that way. But anyway, your job.
And our police chief, who does so much for us anyway, shouldn't have to clean up the mess of her own office.
So, anyway.
I mean, we support that you can.
Yes.
We appreciate that you did, but you shouldn't have to. Yeah.
The other issue separate from that is the floor. Floor tiles, also original from the 80s, are just starting to raise.
Oh, yeah.
So when you walk on them, just the grout's holding them
right in
place right now. So they've pulled away from the floor. So that's the next challenge. We should have some pricing on redoing our floors.
Is there a date or a timeline that we're looking at getting this accomplished, like pricing and floors? We're talking about tomorrow or the next day?
What we want to do is find a good solution to the bathroom that's there now without having to completely redo it. If we completely redo it, what kind of money we're not going to be able to utilize that later. When that bathroom comes out, which should be sooner than later, all that piping and everything that they replace will come out and will be redone at that time. So.
Well, and just for everybody's edification, because it is multi-jurisdictional, you've got the townships saying, that's a city office, so we shouldn't have to pay to fix what's going on in the city office. But at the same time, that city office is the police that provides backup for township calls, and it's not like there's a bright division between entities. So.
No, and it's my opinion that's a structural problem. Therefore, it should proceed with the split.
So, anyway, I'm sorry.
We're keeping
is it insured? The building insured?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, let's make a claim.
Yeah.
Let's get it taken care of. I don't think we should wait anymore.
Yeah.
No, and the other piece of this as well is chief's time.
Right.
On the hierarchy needs of police, building super is not.
Well, and not only our time, but the other officers' time
very much
as well.
Yeah.
So one of the things we are limited to a little bit is there's 5 board members, 2 from the city, 2 from Portland Township, 1 from Danby. During the month, we are very limited as what we can say, go do this.
Yeah.
So at our meeting Wednesday, we will take care of the issue of if there's a mess like that, we're going to give them permission. We'll put a dollar amount on it just to have somebody come in right away and clean.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're not able to just go ahead and do it. One person can't authorize that, you know, without having a meeting. So we've worked through, Star does have it, but something's, you know, small. Dan also has the same thing in ambulance. You know, if this is plugged, this call, you have so many dollars you can spend without having to go through a meeting. But we're going to give them a little bit more.
Happy to engage. This is all good things. Planning Commission met on the 10th. They had two items for consideration, 240 Charlotte Highway, which is Edgemont Apartments. They were asking for a site plan approval, which they already had preliminary site plan approval on this particular item. They're going from 24 units to 32 units. 24 of those units are one bedroom, and 8 of those units are a two bedroom. It was conditional approval. There's going to be a civil engineer review of their stormwater management, and so we should button that up this week and get them on their way towards that particular project.
Is their size of their parking lot change?
I do not believe so.
No.
Because of the number of units?
Yeah, the issue was they're actually, I think the water just ran them off the floor. So
yeah.
We don't allow that to, you know, we have to have some drains for them.
Sure.
If they had some existing drain, then we would know that that much water was going into there and that, you know, we have the capacity. So that's why the city engineers just have to look at it, see it.
Just very fine.
But
there's not the parking lot is out here. This is what it used to look like. The entrance is right here.
T-shape.
Now it's going to be a U shape.
But see, when you change the footprint, just like the dental place is going through right now, they increase the number of chairs, they got to increase the number of parking spaces. So I'm just curious how we can increase 33% increase in the number of rooms, and now we don't have to increase or.
So I believe parking was reviewed with that consideration. And I know one of the points of emphasis was the fire dynamics, given the concern for the hardship and the rebuild. And so that was reviewed.
That's the second trip by the Kathy was involved with that. And
So they have more adaptive turn radius for.
I see. Okay. All right, so is this new system, new parking, or new drainage, is that going to be collected and put into the sanitary sewer? Or storm drainage?
Storm drainage.
Okay.
Yep. So, because there wasn't one there before, they'll just have to check capacities, and then, you know, probably not an issue there, but it's just something that the city engineers have to look at.
Yeah, it's probably not cheap from under the pipe to wherever the closest storm drain.
It is. It's just that it was no different than behind the shell when they put in the car wash. They had to put a tank in, actually, a retention tank in the drain.
Right.
For the water to collect from the parking lot. Before that, in the car wash is what put that into motion was. Before, it just ran in the back of the lot. So.
Even the car wash runoff?
Everything. Anything on that lot went to the back of the lot. It's still the same way with the buildings along there.
Okay.
It runs to the back. So obviously, when they came in and wanted to build a new car wash, that was when we had to bring things up to up to date.
Great.
The other item for consideration of Planning Commission, which did also pass, is 155 Road Avenue. That's two family dental. And they are going from 19 parking spaces increased to 26, and that is to meet their business needs. So it really is a success story. They've gone from 8 employees to 14, 112 weekly visitors to 250 weekly visitors. And that was one where we had a lot of back and forth between the applicant prior to getting the Planning Commission. So very excited to see that project move forward after much dialogue and again wishing them some success. Continued success. The flags over the past weekend were at half-mast through the tragedy in Utah. we've worked to kind of formalize the city's policy as it relates to flags on our municipal properties. And so when the governor or president make a proclamation there, all city properties will lower the flags. And we've made some considerations to have those departments in charge of those areas receive the governor's flag honors, as well as myself. And so that'll be kind of a change moving forward. But we're just kind of formalizing that after those terrible events.
Who's in charge of the family building?
I believe Chief, do you have
why not?
It's all set.
Okay.
It's all set.
But the governor's office, they've got a nice press release. You can subscribe just to that. Right. It's typically very apolitical. But just sharing that knowledge, understanding expectations, and then kind of tracking things down. One flag in particular has a certain key. You got to make sure you know where it is and kind of navigate those things. So we formalized that, and I think moving forward, process should be streamlined. I hope we never have to lower it again.
Yep,
right. But in the event we do, for recognition purposes, I hope we'll have that taken care of.
The only comment on your report is, I had to look this up, if you refer to it as half staff or half mask, and that depends on where the pole is. If it's on a ship, it's half mast.
Okay.
If it's on, I should ask you, if it's on land, it's half staff. So, anyway. But.
And then the only other thing I have a shameless plug for the VFW burgers on Fridays. I went this past Friday. Great to see Joel at work in the back office there. And really enjoyed the meal there, as well as great to see the community support a good cause. So thankful of my attendance there. And just community is always very welcoming, and so I always appreciate that.
I'm glad you were able to.
Yeah, it was great. They might have given me extra fries, but I don't know.
Very good. All right. Any questions or comments for Mr. Dimchick? Thank you for your report. The next item on the agenda is new business. We have proposed resolution 2562 approving Fleece and Vandenbrink's invoice for construction engineering services for the Divine Highway Bridge project. And you have an updated copy of the resolution to make it for the bridge project. The other one said the Kent Street project. So with that, are there any questions or comments regarding paying Fleece for their engineering on the bridge? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve resolution number 25-62.
Support.
Johnston?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
Vance Lambert?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. Item B is proposed resolution number 2563 to amend the budget for fiscal year 25-26. Again, housekeeping, because we are not allowed to run negative fund balances, we need to ensure that the everything balances, and that's our finance officer's job, and she has submitted these adjustments. Are there any questions or comments regarding proposed resolution number 2563? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve resolution 25-63.
Support.
Vince Lambert?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. We have the minutes and the synopsis of the regular city council meeting held on September 2nd, 2025. The payment of invoices in the amount of $568,786.02. We have payroll in the amount of $155,426.34. For a total of $724,212.86. There were no purchase orders over $5,000. Are there any questions or comments regarding the consent agenda? Hearing none, we have a motion.
Move to approve the consent agenda as given.
Support.
Vince Lambert?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. Item on the agenda is City Manager comment.
I just have one additional comment, Mayor Barnes. On communications, you'll see the two collective bargaining agreements for both PLLC and GELC. After the TAs were approved, it took a little bit of time to gather signatures and implement that, but that is there for your consideration. We made some notes in the file to maybe shorten that window from when the TAs were adopted, when that contract gets executed. So 3 years from now, when we have to do that, that window will be shorter as we move forward.
TAs are temporary.
Tentative agreements. And so council did authorize those, and then from the TAs implement them into the contract. But securing signatures took a little bit longer than I had anticipated, and so there's a little bit of a lag from when that was executed to what you're seeing today.
Good. All right. Next item on the, any questions or comments? Next item is council comments. Anybody have anything?
Yeah, I do. Just thanks for the kind words of the VFW. Coffee working. That's unusual. I did want to say that they raised $1,286 that evening, and then once all the bills were paid, they made their donation contribution of $874.45 to the school for the suicidal protection program. They at least that moving in the right direction there. Also, this upcoming football game on the 19th of September, the Portland High School, along with Backpacks for Bellies and the Community Fund, are going to raise funds for the Backpack for Bellies program. And let's bring one of the following items. It's like canned pasta, like SpaghettiOs, beefaroni, something to that nature, or instant oatmeal, variety packs, granola breakfast bars, round noodles, and fruit snacks. A donation, then you will receive some free popcorn if you so desire. And for folks that can't make it, or they can also use one of those QR digital codes, they can go to the online, the Backpack for Bellies, and make donations there as well. That nonprofit is a subchapter of the Portland Community Fund, and the mission is to have weekend meals for the food insecure children. So each bag includes a Friday dinner and then three meals for Saturday and Sunday plus some snacks. So kind of important for the families that maybe struggle a little bit to keep their school-age kids, at least the younger ones, with good nutrition to get back to school on a Monday is one of the reasons that this is successful, because the Monday blahs is not so bad when you had food in your stomach over the weekend. So it keeps going on with that. Since 2018, the Bellies program has delivered over 255,078 meals, individual meals. And that is 32,154 weekends that they've been doing this. And last year they did 6,540 bags. So it's been going on. And like anything, the costs are rising. And so 21-22 operating costs were $13,073. 24-25 operating costs, $29,459. So it keeps going up. And that's about $4.08 per child for the weekend. So it's not high amounts, but it just keeps going, and you got to negotiate that. And so, again, brought to you by Backpack for Bellies, the Portland Public Schools, the Portland Police Department has walked and is helping with this as well, and the community partners. The Athletic Association is involved in it as well, and we all take it important of maintaining our kids, children, at least getting them pointed in the right direction for success, and then having meals and then going to school are two important things with that. So those two things are important. I do have one more, and again, it's going to be on the bridge. I know that we're looking at preparing ourselves to go out and do the tour, and I am very much want to be involved in that. The importance of getting that information out to the people or the surrounding areas that that Divine Bridge will be out, and having to have a new course, a new way of traveling, will surprise a lot of people. We can probably talk about it. We have been talking about it for about 7 years, and then 3 years ago we got the money for the bridge, and now we're finally here, you know, looking at getting this done. So it's not a surprise to everyone, but it will be to travelers that don't get the message. And so everything that we can do to get the message out, I'll be involved with. So
if I could just piggyback on that a little bit, we've got a progress meeting tomorrow on 103. I'm certainly going to have a conversation with Engineer Moxie as it relates to those plans to kind of get those renderings. I've asked for that. And then after I was enjoying my burger, I spoke to Commander Hoon, and I think we can put up a pop-up stand at the VFW on one of those nights with some pamphlets and leaflets to kind of, again, try and get the word out as it relates to the bridge project. So.
I've heard several folks comment on the fact that they anticipate during this period when they can't cross the Divine Highway Bridge that they're going to have or want to have a vehicle on one side of the bridge that's kind of positioned there, and then they intend to drive to a place on the other side where they can walk across or walk to someplace and get this other vehicle. Have we considered the fact that we might want to try to accommodate that in some way? But I don't know. Where we have enough room to have parking.
I was going to say there are so many cars that go through that intersection. I think we would be talking about being able to place one.
Yeah.
Workers in Portland, or are we talking about anybody that wants to park and ride?
Yeah, people that live on one side and have school on the other, food or whatever. Their normal life crossing the bridge entails. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying that there's probably going to be people who are going to want to do that, and that's going to use up parking spaces.
I don't know. We couldn't even get them to park in the lot across the river, so why would they want to?
Well, but now it's different. Now they have to. I mean, now they want to, and so now it's a situation where they may very easily flood the existing parking.
Well, I think that's great feedback. I also think it kind of puts, again, the onus on getting that message out early, because those are the considerations that you get when you do that public information early enough to where you can start working on those frequently asked questions and start addressing those. I will follow up with Engineer Moxie there. I do know from the Kent Street Improvements parking analysis, there should be plenty of spots for folks throughout the community, but I wonder if designating a lot for that purpose or having some understanding as it relates to that would be beneficial. Because I do think that engagement goes both ways. Yes, we're communicating that the bridge is going to be temporary hindrance, but then, you want to believe you've thought of every conceivable concern, but as you engage with residents, oftentimes there's some revisions to that. And so I think when we get that out, that'll be kind of what that looks like. We've already kind of workshopped on what we want to do for public engagement to a degree, and that would be some frequently asked questions, some website materials, some handouts, some leaflets, newsletter coordination. It's just a matter of appropriate timing. So MDOT has to review those plans 3 different times. Engineer Moxie wanted to kind of get through that first review before that engagement went out, because if there were pivots, timelines, different things, once the cat's out of the bag, for lack of a great phrase, it's out. A big component for me as well is for those employers within our community, getting your workforce to understand what those dynamics are So if your shift starts at 8 or it starts at 5 or what that looks like, make sure that your staff is taking the appropriate routes to get there on time. Because I don't want to be anybody's hall pass for showing up to work late. And so again, I'll press for those efforts.
So the first review has been done, right?
First review has been done, yeah.
Okay. So we should have that information.
Absolutely should.
Okay, that would be a good study.
And MDOT at times will move at their own pace. So yes, first review has gone through. There's a bid letting associated with that project. I think that's right around February or March. Bid acquisition, and then through that whole construction cycle next year in 26. So it's just a matter of working the way that will go. The other difficulty on the public engagement communication side is the construction will be kind of staggered as it goes along, and so it may pivot, and so we want to make sure that our communications is all encompassing and not during April, May, June, this is what it's going to look like. The rest of the year, this is what it's going to look like. We want to make sure that we're giving folks accurate information, something that they can hold on to at one point to address their travel concerns.
So one of the things, no matter what you do, it isn't going to be the same. The easiest way is just for, and I know it's hard for people just looking left. For a construction season, you're going to pretend you live 8 miles north of town. And that's just as simple. I'm sorry, I wish I could sugarcoat it more, but no, it's just, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah. Along beyond that, there's also service concerns, right? And so those residents on the other side of the ridge, they're still paying for leaf pickup, they're still paying for folks to service their home. What does that look like? What are those dynamics? And so we just want to make sure that it's very well thought out, all encompassing, and that we're not missing a step while we embark on some additional infrastructure. So, but I've always told folks, we just get downtown, we just the plaza, the bridge. Once we get through that, we shouldn't need to be in this area for a very long time. And the infrastructure that we're doing, it's critical and it's important. So I appreciate everyone's patience thus far on the plaza, but again, it's all good things. So.
Very good. Any other comments? I didn't want the date to go by without acknowledging. In the past, we've done proclamations at the request of a group that recognizes the anniversary of the U.S. Constitution. On September 17th, 1787, is when it was first presented, and it was ratified a couple of years later. And every year they like to have you acknowledge the fact that this document is as powerful as it is, because it's easy to take something like that for granted. It's so flexible, and it makes it thing, even when it's challenging, it makes things look relatively easy compared to other places, other countries. And so we're fortunate that we have that document to rely upon. Also to recognize the tragedy in Utah. Charlie Kirk was obviously murdered. And we recognize the Minnesota tragedy, and there's no difference really at this point, other than elected officials versus predominant individual for his cause. But nonetheless, it's noteworthy, and there's a concern out there now that there's some larger movements that might happen or are happening or whatever. It appears that this person that perpetrated this was, I think the term is a lone wolf. He was acting on his own. It doesn't appear that there was any big conspiracy, but nonetheless, just giving mention to the fact that this tragedy occurred and it's not acceptable in any way. And on a much happier note, Mandy's daughter was part of a competition this weekend in Rockford with the band.
Yep.
And fill us in on what happened.
Yep, they attended the Rockford Band Invitational on Saturday. They took third place, so they were very excited about that. They all did a great job and represented Portland very well.
And she's the
drum major. Drum major.
So, excellent. Very good.
Yes, this from, I haven't seen them now in a few years, but third place, those are some very intense.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a bad school that shows up to those. Those are, that's great kind of fun.
We're definitely one of the smaller schools that attend, but just to be invited is a great honor.
So,
one for the kids, too, as the adults. It's a great song. The Murder Marching Band is a great community. The kids have all, you talk to us, you've got the best kids in Portland. But they're just super supportive of everybody and accepting of the kids. And the parents are also awesome.
They are.
So it's a great way to spend the
Saturday. And to Mr. Selecki's credit, I think he's now at a point where the kids who were in the youngest grades have now worked their way up through his tenure to be seniors, and they love him, and he does a great job. My wife knows him through because she's a part of the Portland Community Orchestra or whatever, and he gets these kids involved. So you have the 70-year-old playing clarinet next to 18, 19, 20-year-olds. So it is really great.
And that's their favorite thing.
It is. They all love it.
They all
the kids love
playing in the orchestra.
Yeah. So it is great. And we do get a chance to play in Holiday Fest and in a few places in and around Portland. So. Yeah.
I did want to mention, too, that many of Mr. Selecki's students have gone and played at the collegiate level. And we have, Erica's son is in Spartan Marching Band, and that's not easy to get in.
That's
so
huge.
It's a very, very big deal for these kids to move on and really have that love for music and learning. So, very cool.
Very cool.
Very good. With that, any other comments? With that, we entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move adjourn.
I'll just do the voices I heard. Van Slambert?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes.
Was Lance